It's really a pleasure to be here this morning and to speak on behalf of YU Connect, an organization for which I have an enormous amount of respect and support greatly as much as I possibly can. Just yesterday, as Rob mentioned, there were many communities, there are actually 90 communities in all, that had events that related to trying to bring young men and women together in our community. Some of them had programs, many of them had programs, some of them, the rabbis spoke from their pulpits about the importance of sensitizing members of the community to make this an important priority. And from all the programs that we know of, there were at least 1,500 participants, and as Rob mentioned, from all across the globe. This was just a number just of the young people themselves, of men and women. And in addition to that, there were so many members of the community who hosted them and hopefully were sensitized in order to make this a significant priority. I want to thank Mrs. Margie Glatt very, very much on behalf of YU Connects and actually on behalf of Cloud Israel for coordinating a very important task force that emanated from a program that we have in the summer at the Champions Gate in Florida, putting together this program. And I'd like to express our gratitude to Michael Feldstein, who's the chairman of that committee, for all of the work that they did and everybody who responded to them on behalf of what is clearly such an important effort. So far, the emails that we've received just overnight have been extraordinarily positive. And Amir Tzashem, we should be zoche that men and women should find one another and should be able to build appropriate bayis nemunz b'Yisrael. I want myself to dedicate my talk this morning in honor and as an extraordinary expression of respect that I have for Dr. Efrat Zavalovsky. I've been working with Dr. Zavalovsky for a while now on this, and I don't think, with the exception of her husband, who we welcome and whose presence honors us this morning and from whom you will hear shortly, I don't think anybody knows the extent to which Dr. Zavalovsky throws herself in b'lev v'nefesh for this project. And it's not just in a broad sense of all the things that have to be done and coordinated, but the hundreds and probably more than hundreds of hours personally dealing literally yomam v'layla, Baruch Hashem, thank God for Shabbos, but I'm sure even on Shabbos without the phone, this is an important priority for her, to help both Klal Yisrael Begadol and also specific individuals. She's a role model for me, for somebody who really cares, and not only cares, but is able to express and move that caring forward with a great deal of wisdom and a great deal of sensitivity. So you thank everybody else. We really owe you an unbelievable debt of hakaras hatov. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give you the schar that you deserve for what you do way above and beyond. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should in fact give you tremendous nachas and good health from your children and from your husband, your family, to continue your mamish, literally unbelievable work on behalf of this organization and so many others who you benefit. So a big yesher koach to you. It's really an honor for me to devote and to dedicate my shir in honor of Dr. Efrat Zavalovsky. My mother is here. So today, so for as long as I can remember, and Baruch Hashem, I'm getting a little bit older, my mother told me that when I used to wish her a happy Mother's Day, she would say, every day is Mother's Day. So I know that every day is Mother's Day, but Mommy, for the whole world, today is Mother's Day. So a happy Mother's Day, and thank you so much for everything. Dr. Zavalovsky suggested that the subject for my talk this morning should be En Kedusha B'li Hachana. Do you all have a copy? Anybody not have a copy of the sheet? En Kedusha B'li Hachana, there is no sanctity without preparation. What I'd like to do is to deal with the issue of Hachana in general, the issue of preparation for mitzvos, and to essentially make the point that if marriage is an important mitzvah, and if marriage is an important priority, then that also needs hachana. And the hachana for marriage is not just dating, but the hachana for marriage is the ethics of dating. If we want our marriages to be full of all kinds of wonderful values, we want our marriages to have kindness, and to have sensitivity, and to have empathy, and to have graciousness, and to have respect, and of course we do, we want that very much in our marriages, then we have to model that, and we have to prepare for that during the time that we date. And that the way we date one another has to be done with kindness, and with sensitivity, and with empathy, and with graciousness, and with respect. You can't expect to develop a relationship with somebody with all of those values, and then on the way to that relationship, we trample on those values. We have to inculcate those values before, whether we're going to end up marrying the person that we're dating or not. There's a certain gestalt, there's a certain ethics, there's a certain menschlichkeit that we have to show and that we have to practice in the whole process of dating. And it's actually very sad that I have to make this point. And at the end of my talk, as you'll see on the last page of the sheets, I'm actually going to read to you certain appropriate modes of behavior for men and for women, although I do want to say that in most cases it's the men who are more egregious in this behavior and who need the chizuk. It's sad that I have to do this, but I have to do it and it's really important. Now, I don't know how many of you here today are unmarried. Those of you who are here, Mitz Hashem, Devish, the Vethelfen, and you'll find the right spouse. But those of you who, Baruch Hashem, are already married, and you have children, and you have grandchildren. So my goal is to ask you, to implore you, to invite you, to please sensitize your children, and in particular your sons, and your grandchildren, and in particular your grandsons, to what it means to be a mensch when one goes out on a date. And that all requires and presupposes a certain conceptual construct that I want to present to you. And the construct has to do with the notion of hachana bechlal when it comes to mitzvahs. And then at the end, to apply this to the particular focus of this weekend and of this morning, the focus of why you connect, and that is on shiduchim and on marriage. So what I want to do is to take a number of cases, particularly in the context of our ritual calendar, where the notion of achana is relevant, and then make the case with regard to marriage. So on the top of the first page, I want to begin with Erev Yom Kippur. I want to move from Erev Yom Kippur to the time frame between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and then I want to move to the time frame before Pesach, and then I want to focus on Shabbos. So I have a number of contexts in which achana plays a very significant role. I want to analyze that, I want to explain that, I want to tease that out. It will be of, I hope, benefit for us, bichlal, before Yom Kippur, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, before Pesach, and every single Shabbos, and in particular at the end, to focus on the issue at hand. So the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Chesamid Beis, and it's in many other places in Shas, that there's a mitzvah of achila on Erev Yom Kippur. The limud of the Gemara at this moment is not what I'm interested in. It's actually a complicated limud in the Gemara. Now, why is it that if you fast on, if you eat on the ninth, it's as if you fasted on the ninth and the tenth? But there is a halacha of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. So Rashi says on the top left-hand side of the page, V'hachi ka'omar kra, hechinu atzmechem b'tisha lachodesh le'inoy hamachras. That we should prepare ourselves on Erev Yom Kippur for the difficult fasting that we're going to engage in on Yom Kippur itself. In other words, the din of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is not a din in Erev Yom Kippur. It's really a din in Yom Kippur, but it's a way to help us prepare for Yom Kippur. We prepare for the inui of Yom Kippur by eating before Yom Kippur. So how do you understand this? How is this, in fact, a preparation? How is it that if I eat before Yom Kippur, it's going to help me for Yom Kippur? So the simple Rashi doesn't say. Rashi just says it's a preparation for the inui of Yom Kippur. He doesn't say what the preparation is. So the simple pshat is that if we eat before Yom Kippur, so we'll have kayach, and we'll have strength, and then we'll be able to properly focus on Yom Kippur itself. We won't be totally overwhelmed by the fasting. We'll have a shtikel kayach building on the food that we ate yesterday in order to give us the strength to be able to do the job that has to be done on Yom Kippur. So if you look at the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shari Tshuva and Shah Dalet actually gives three explanations, three significances for the mitzvah of Achila on Erev Yom Kippur. I want to focus on the last one, the bottom right of the first page, Vehashlishis. Why am I eating on Erev Yom Kippur? L'ma'an nechzak laharbos tefila v'sachnunim b'yom ha'kippurim. So that I should have kayach, I should be strong in order to be able to spend the time in fullness of davening and supplication on Yom Kippur. The luscious etzos b'nafshenu al hatshuva v'ikorea. So I'd be able to focus on what it is that I have to do on Yom Kippur. The Rush at the end of Maseches Yuma, the bottom left-hand side of the page, gives a similar explanation. In the fourth line, where it's underlined, klomar, hechinu atzmechem b'tisha l'chodesh, you should prepare yourself. You notice the verb here is the significant verb, and that's what I want to keep on coming back to, namely hachana, the mitzvah of preparation. Hechinu atzmechem, prepare yourself on the ninth, lehischazek ba'achilo uveshesia, to strengthen yourself, to get koyach, to get chizuk through the eating and the drinking, kedei she'tuchlu lehisanos lemochar, so that you should be able to fast the next day. Because if I don't eat on Erev Yom Kippur, it's going to be much harder for me to fast on Yom Kippur. I need koyach, I need to be able to physically be able to function. So therefore, Hashem tells me that I should eat before Yom Kippur to give me the koyach. Laharos chiboso shalamakam baruch hu liYisrael, to show how beloved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the warmth that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows to Bnei Yisrael, ka'adam sheyesh lo yelet she'ashuim, if a person has a child that they love very much, v'gozer olav l'hisanos yom echad, and they require this child to fast on a particular day, v'tziva l'achilo u'l'ashkoso erev yom ha'taynis k'dei sheyuchal lisbol. So what a chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, he gives us mamish a mitzvah. It's not just a hechatimtza, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to eat before Yom Kippur, to prepare myself for Yom Kippur. How am I preparing myself? I'm preparing myself to give me the strength and the wherewithal, the physical capacity to do what I have to do. At the top of the second page, there's an alternative explanation for the significance of the hachana of achila on Erev Yom Kippur. This comes from the Shibboleth HaLeket, Italy in the 13th century. Shibboleth HaLeket says, five lines from the bottom at the end of the line, Yesh Lomar. You notice the title for this section is Din Su'udah Serev Yom HaKippurim. So the Shibboleth HaLeket says, Yesh Lomar, we're now four lines from the bottom, Shemipnei she'ochel yofa be'erev Yom HaKippurim u'b'yom HaKippurim misaneh koshelo inu yo yoser. As a matter of fact, it's exactly the opposite. Because if Baruch Hashem, we eat with a gishmak on Erev Yom Kippur, then all of a sudden we stop, and now we fast. So now the fasting is actually made more difficult. That if we ease into the fast, then we don't eat that much the day before. So we somehow manage. It's not such a contrast. But to eat with a gishmak on Erev Yom Kippur, and then cold turkey v'mezut, stop, and now I have to fast, it makes it harder to fast. It makes it harder to fast. So Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah say that I eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The hachana is to make it easier for me to fast. It's a chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for a ben shashuim. But according to the Shibboleth HaLeket, eating on Erev Yom Kippur makes it harder. And that's how the Torah Tamima explains to the right at the bottom that that's the pshat, that if you eat on the ninth, it's as if you fasted on the ninth and the tenth. Why is it as kilu hisana chiva siri? Because in fact, it's now a harder fast. It's like a double fast. The fast of Yom Kippur itself has now been raised a number of levels. The inui has now been raised a number of levels. Dafka, because you ate the day before. So that's in the Torah Tamima on the right-hand side in the middle of page two. So what they both have in common is the notion, the way Rashi says, that eating an Erev Yom Kippur is not a halacha in Erev Yom Kippur, it's a halacha in Yom Kippur. It's a hachana for Yom Kippur. What's the hachana? What's the preparation? So one sheet says it makes it easier. And the other sheet, the Lehefach, says that it actually makes it harder. There's a beautiful quote from Rav Soloveitchik in one of the talks that he gave on the middle on the left-hand side of page 2, where the Rav talked about Erev Yom Kippur in his childhood. Rav Soloveitchik, as you know, used to reflect often on his own personal experiences growing up in his desire to try to convey to his audiences not just the halacha, the technicality of the Maisa HaMitzvah, but also the experience of the mitzvah. It was very important for Rav Soloveitchik to be able to make the point that it's not only to do the act, but it's also to experience the act, that there's a whole sense of a relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's fulfilled not just via particular behaviors, but a mindset and a whole state of being. And the Rav once said, middle of page 2, I remember how difficult it was to go to sleep on Erev Yom Kippur. The Shaykhik used to come at the break of dawn to provide chickens for the Kaparis ritual. Later people would give tzedakah. The wallets of Jews were open twice a year on Erev Yom Kippur and on Purim, but especially on Erev Yom Kippur. Mincha, Vidui, the Suda Mafsekes, my Zaydis preparations, all made Erev Yom Kippur a special entity. Not only halachic, but emotional and religious as well. The halach of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is the halachic din in Erev Yom Kippur. Or it's a halachic din in Yom Kippur that's expressed on Erev Yom Kippur. But it's not just the halachic, it's the emotional and it's the religious. Erev Yom Kippur, continued the Rav, constitutes the herald that the Rabbani Shalom is coming, that lifnei Hashem titaru, before Hashem shall you be purified. We normally understand lifnei Hashem titaru means in the presence of God. It's a kind of a spatial concept that if we envision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here and we are lifnei Hashem, we are in the presence of God, lifnei Hashem titaru. In Shul on Yom Kippur, we refer to lifnei Hashem titaru, and we understand that lifnei Hashem titaru is we sort of feel the aura of the Shechina on us in Shul on Yom Kippur. So in the presence of God, lifnei Hashem, we seek tahara. But the Rav, based on a Ramban and others, said that lifnei Hashem is not in the context of space, but it's in the context of chronology. Before Hashem, before we get to Hashem, as we prepare to come to Hashem, lifnei, before I walk into the room, before I engage Hashem, I already have to be involved with titaru. And that's what Erev Yom Kippur is. So here we have the first example of the significance of preparation in the context of religious ritual and religious observance, and how the preparation is an emotional understanding and rooted deeply in the act that we have to perform. So we move from Erev Yom Kippur to a few days thereafter, to after Yom Kippur and before Sukkot. So there's a Medrash Rab in Parshas Emor at the bottom of page 2. The Medrash Rabba says as follows. Medrash Rabba asks, why does the Torah say on the first day of Sukkot, "Ulakachtam lochem bayom arishon priyetz hodar kapos tamarin anafei tzavos ve'arvei nachal usmachtam lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yam"? So the Gemara, the Chazal ask that we don't say bayom arishon. We refer to various mitzvos that we have to do in the Torah, the Doraisis in the Torah, by the day of the month in which we have to perform them. So we'll say on the first day, if it's Rosh Hashanah, it's on the first day. Yom Kippur is on the 10th day. Sukkot is b'chamisha asur l'chodesh. Pesach is b'chamisha asur l'chodesh. We don't talk about days of weeks. We don't talk about days of the holiday. We talk about the days of the month. And so therefore, Chazal want to know, why is it that when it comes to the mitzvah of Arba Minim, the Torah says, "Ulakachtem lochem bayom harishon," the first day. It's not the first day. It should be, to be consistent, lekachtem lochem on the 15th day. Like the mitzvah of Sukkot is on the 15th day. Like Yom Kippur is on the 10th day, etc. So Chazal answer that bayom harishon means rishon lecheshbon avonos. It's the first day for the cheshbon of avonos. Which means that until that day, we don't sin. We're not involved in sin at all from the beginning of the year. And this medrash here at the bottom of page 2 explains that on Erev Yom Kippur, the Gedolei Hador fast. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, the Yechidim fast. On Yom Kippur, everybody fasts. In other words, from the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, through Yom Kippur, who has time to think about, or who has interest to think about, or who has the capacity to think about sinning. Rosh Hashanah, what are you talking about? It's Rosh Hashanah. After Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Shabbos Tshuva. We're so busy. We're so holy. We're so trying to do the best that we can. We're so focused. Now Yom Kippur, are you kidding? Yom Kippur, it's unbelievable. After Yom Kippur, says the Medrash, after Yom Kippur, Miyom HaKippurim Va'ad HaChag, it's about 9 lines from the bottom, Kol Yisrael Asukam B'mitzvos, Ze Oseg B'sukoso, V'ze B'liluvo. Right after Yom Kippur, what are you talking about? An Aveira? Who's going to do an Aveira? Matzah Yom Kippur, I'm already running to the bookstore. Matzah Yom Kippur, I'm already running to check and make sure that I got the lulav. I got to hop in to get a good lulav. I want to make sure that everybody doesn't beat me to it. So right after Yom Kippur, I'm running. It's already in our traditional literature that right after Yom Kippur, we should worry about sukkahs and have to get the best esrog. And then for the next few days, I'm worrying about my sukkah. I have to put up the sukkah and fix the sukkah and noy sukkah. So where's time to sin? I'm so busy involved in mitzvahs. Oh, now comes the first day of Sukkot. Oh, now I have time. Now I have time. Are you kidding? Nah, shtick a little Lashon Hara gezin. Shtick a little this. Shtick a little... Now I'm relaxed. Now I'm relaxed. Till now, less man dechar shmei. Who could talk about sinning? So the Taz, on the right-hand side at the top of page 3, the Taz asks a bomb of a question. The Helik Taz, Rav David Alevi, who lived in Poland in the 17th century, the Taz Nebuch of Durchgemach, the Chmelnytsky massacres, he was a survivor of the Chmelnytsky massacres in the 17th century. So the Taz asks, on the top right of page 3, where it's underlined with a little caratal in the margin, Elo de Kasha, Frekta Helegataz, Lefize, Lama Be'emes, Yihye Odif, Hahachono Laha Mitzvah Shal Sukkah, Min Hayom Atzmo Shemekaimen HaMitzvah. The Taz says, I don't understand. What's happening on the first day of Sukkot? I'm sitting in the Sukkah. I'm taking the lulav and the esrog. Why did I not have a chance, or it would not occur to me to sin till Sukkot? Because I am preparing for the mitzvah of Sukkah. I am preparing for the mitzvah of Arba Minim. So why is it that if I'm preparing for the mitzvah, Chas V'Shalom, it wouldn't occur to me? Today, I'm actually doing the mitzvah. So if I'm doing the mitzvah, so Kal V'Chomer, I'm not going to sin. If for the Hachana, I'm not sinning, so for the Kiyum HaMitzvah itself, of course not. Mamash, I'm in the Sukkah. I'm surrounded by the Sukkah. I'm holding the Lulav and Esrog. So for sure I shouldn't sin. Why is it that it should be Rishon LeCheshbon Avonos? The Rishon LeCheshbon Avonos should be after Simchas Torah, when I'm back in the real world, then Sefang Tzach Shoinan. But on Sukkot, I'm flying high. I am actually doing that for which I prepared all these days. So for sure, frek the Taz, why should it be? Lama be'emes yihye odif ha-hachana la-ha-mitzvah, better than the mitzvah itself. Notice the word, hachana, for the mitzvah. So there's an unbelievable Sfas Emes. The Helik of Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe says, on the left-hand side, that you're absolutely right. The Sfas Emes points out the power of preparation. The absolute significance of what it means to have hachana. He quotes the Torah, top left, page 3. The Torah quotes the Medrash that I xeroxed for you at the bottom of page 2. And then 4 lines later, Ve'ekshe de Taz, he quotes the Taz, and the Taz asks, I don't understand, it's not logical. Avol, he says where it's underlined, you're right, unbelievable. Ein hadavar rochuk, it's not so odd. She yoser koach v'hatzola yesh behachonas ha-mitzvah miguf kiyom ha-mitzvah. Unbelievable. There's more significance in the hachana for the mitzvah. You hear such a thing, it's amazing. Than in the actual fulfillment of the mitzvah itself. We're talking about a doiraisa here. We're talking about 2 doiraisas. The doiraisa of Arba Minim, the doiraisa of Basukos Teishvu. It's more powerful to prepare than it is to perform. Why? He gives 2 reasons. Echad, ki asios hamitzvah hu rak l'sha'a, V'ha'achana hu li'olam. It's deeply profound. Deeply profound. The asiyas ha-mitzvahs in a second. In a second. Especially when it comes to arba minim. You know, the Gemara has this whole problem. Because we have a halacha that we have to make the bracha, what we call over la'asiyasa. We have to make the bracha before we do the ma'asa mitzvah. So, before we eat the matzah, we have to make the bracha. Before we put on tefillin, we make the bracha. Before we light Shabbos candles, we make a bracha. But we have a problem with the lulav and the arba minim. Frek the Gemara, mid the agbei, nafakbei. As soon as I pick it up, I'm already mekayim the mitzvah. And to make the bracha while it's still on the table is apparently considered to be too much of a hefsek. I make the bracha, it's on the table, then I go pick it up. But once I picked it up, I already fulfilled the mitzvah. How can I make the bracha? So that's where we have this whole thing about the whole esrog this way, and you make the bracha, and you turn the esrog. In a second, we're mekayim the mitzvah. The maisa ha-mitzvah, the kiyum ha-mitzvah, the performance of the mitzvah, says the Sfasemes, is rak l'shah. But the hachana is forever. What's the hachana for the mitzvah of arba minim? Is us. It's our lives. It's how we comport ourselves. It's the values that we have. It's the way we live. It's we bring ourselves into the mitzvah. Who walks into the sukkah? We walk into the sukkah. Who's the we? Whatever we are. You want to be mechem for the mitzvah of sukkah? You want to have hachana for the mitzvah of arba minim? So you live like a mensch, and you live a life of kedusha, and you live a life of sanctity, and you live a life in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You live an erlich life. That's what you bring with you. The hachana is forever. The Maisa Mitzvah is in a second. Zot the Sfasemes. You're right. The Taz, you're onto something. You're right, Taka, it's true. Be'emes, the Hachana, is greater than the Maisa. It's a huge chiddush, but it's deeply profound, and we understand what he means. Because the act is fleeting. The act is momentary. But the preparation for the act is a lifetime. Is a lifetime of engagement with Torah and with mitzvahs. The second answer that Sfasemes gives, where it's underlined a few lines later, Va'od ki mi yuchal lekayim ha-mitzvah kemishpata. It's actually a little bit nerve-wracking. Like, how do you know you're going to get the mitzvah right? How do you know you're going to flip the esrog at the exact right second? How do you know that the sukkah is going to be exactly 1,000% al pi halacha? Maybe there's a shtickle, a leaf, or something, an epis. And who knows? I don't know. A wire? I don't know. How do you know? How do you know it's a? How do you know you do it exactly right? We try to do the best that we can, but how are you sure? Avala ratzon v'ha'achana l'mitzvah. That's 100%. The ratzon for the mitzvah, the preparation for the mitzvah. I do that with a full varamkai. I do the best I can. That's me. I'm putting myself into it. I'm trying to get myself into the frame of mind that's appropriate for it. You can't fault me on that. I am working hard to do that. The technicality, who knows, maybe I missed epis, something didn't go exactly 100% right. So we see from here, from this Sfasemes, that in fact the preparation is even more significant than the performance, even more significant than the performance itself. There's a similar medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah that the Halag Hashem Yishmuel associates with this. So at the bottom of page 3, the Medrash says on the Pasuk, Vayhi biyom kalos Moshe lahakim es ha-mishka. The Medrash says that on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu finished putting up the Mishka. So what is Vayhi? Vayhi, and it happened, Vayhi biyom kalos Moshe lahakim es ha-mishka. So the Medrash says on the top line at the bottom of page 3, Vayehi vayhaya. Vayehi vayhaya. It's divided into two words. Mi omar vay. Oi! Oi! Stell sich vor, vayehi biyom kalos Moshe lakim es ha-mishka. Vovlin gemeint, it's a murder that geyomtiv. Are you kidding? This is the day. The Mishkan is finished. We're ready to go. It's amazing. It's a place for Ashura, Sashchina, and Klal Yisrael. You know what the Mishkan was? You know what the Beis HaMikdash was? What a yomtiv! No, oi, akrecht, nebuch, oh my God, whoa! Who said whoa? Amir Abav, in Kaviyocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, vai. Vai! HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, why? Why did Hashem say why? Why? What's going on here? What was so terrible? Are you kidding? It's the opposite. So the Medrash says, L'ma'adav v'dom. L'melech shahaya l'matrona wrote nonis. So he tells a story about a king who had a wife that they didn't have such a good relationship with. So he always tried to give her jobs to do. And if he gave her a job to do, so it would be shalom al Yisrael. Shashtil, everything would be nice. So he gives her a job to do, and she finishes the job. She comes back and says, here's the job. So what does he do? He says, oh my God, what am I going to do? She's finished with the job. I got to give her another job. So far, so good. So Gavarna, this Levam in the Hartzim lately. Now, who knows what's going to happen? So that's the Tzushtel, says the Medrash to this. Kach ata motzei, in the middle of the Medrash. Shehoi Yisrael meranin in b'chol shah. The Jews are complaining. In Shmos Tezvav, in Shmos Tezayin, in Shmos Yudzayin. It's Vayulonu, Vayulonu, they're kvetching, and they're krechtzing, and they're complaining one after another. So what does Hashem do? He says, you know what? Listen, make a Mishkan. Make a Mishkan. Get yourself busy. Make something significant. Occupy yourself. Tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'asa lo Mishkan. Kol ha'yomim, four lines from the bottom, shehayu asukim b'melechas ha'mishkan, lohayu meraninin. They have what to do. Who's kvetching? They have to hack and cut and paste and stick and move and bang. They're busy. They're occupied. Ela kivin shagamru melechas ha'mishkan. Hizchil HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzoveach vay, shelo yachzeru v'yiraninu, k'shem shehayu meraninin. Now they're done. Oh my God. They're done. Sefanz Hashanu Nachamu. We're going to start all over again. Fret the Hele Geshem Yishmuel. On the top right of page 4. Eichet from the Gera Rebbe's. The Hele Geshem Yishmuel. Geshem Yishmuel on the top right of page 4 quotes this Medrash. In the third line, top right. Geshem Yishmuel Kisisa. Behine b'medrash v'hi b'yom kalos Moshe vay haya mi amar vay amar above in kaviyachol all the way down, and then when it's underlined v'agam fret the Shem Yishmuel. So the Shem Yishmuel asks the same question that the Taz asks on the previous medrash, that if in the making of the Mishkan everything is beautiful and fine and wonderful between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now that we have a Mishkan, we have a Mishkan. It's amazing. We feel much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a place to go. We have a place to focus on. We have a place to connect to. So if the making, when we're hacking and we're sticking and we're banging and we're... That is going to make us feel connected. So Kal Vachemer, the Poel Yotze, the result, for sure is going to make us feel connected. So if I'm not being Maranen, if I'm not going to complain and kvetch, and give God a hard time when I'm making the Mishkan. So Kal Vachomer when I have the Mishkan. Are you kidding? We're done. It's here. It's beautiful. V'hagam shekosha lahovin. Eich hoyu Yisrael be'eis ha'his askus b'meleches ha'mishkan. B'matzav yoser tov mi shekeshehoyo ha'mishkan ome. How could it be? Mikol makom atzinu. Kayotze bo. He says, oh my God, Tzushtel to the previous Medrash. We find exactly the same thing in the 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. What do we find? That the preparation for Sukkot is even more profoundly inspiring and engaging and significant than Sukkot itself. So the Shem Yishmuel, Tzushtels, the Medrash that the Sfasemes addresses, to the Medrash in Kisisa that he addresses. And he makes the same point. That in fact the Hachana could be even more profound than the actual Kiyum HaMitzvah itself. So far we've seen this in two contexts. One context in Erev Yom Kippur, the issue of what's the Hachana of Erev Yom Kippur. It's a fascinating Machlokas Rishonim. I always assumed, when I was younger, I always assumed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a chesed, that I should have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, so I should be able to focus on Yom Kippur. Kuntzegendish Bolei Alekin says exactly the opposite, that Hashem wanted to make it harder for me to fast. But however you see it, it's a din in the Hachana for Yom Kippur. Then we saw it also in the din of the Hachana for Sukkot. And now I want to look at Pesach. So the Mechaba Paskin is on the top of page 4, Simin Tav Chavtes. Shol and Bilchas Pesach Kodom LePesach Shlosh Miyom. Talk about Hachana. Talk about Hachana. 30 days? We have 30 days to prepare for Pesach. You think you could just walk into Pesach? I know you never thought that you could just walk into Pesach. Especially the Nashim Tzidkaniyos. You're not going to walk in. Erev Pesach, you wake up, oh my God, it's Pesach. Forget about it. 30 days. Shloshim Shoyalin Be'ilchas Pesach Kaidim LePesach Shloshim Yom. So the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Aleph tells us how we know this. We learn it from Pesach Shem. V'hu adin, says the Mishnah Berurah, b'shar yomim tovim nami darshin kodem lachen lamid yom behil chosei. It's only Shemayin, you shouldn't think it's only a din in Pesach, but it's a din in the other holidays. It's also a din in Sukkot, and it's also a din in Shavuos. All of the other holidays we should darshin for 30 days. I am the Bir Agra, but the Agra disagrees. Shedato did the Atzeres. We're now coming up to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The Atzeres Sagi Miyom Echad B'Siva. When it comes to Shavuos, what do you have to do? What do you have to clear and harav to figure out the halachas of Shavuos? So figure out, what do you do if something happened with the cheesecake? And like, what do you have to focus on? So you don't need 30 days. To go dafka to focus on Hilchos Shavuos, what are you going to point to that's specifically relevant to Shavuos as opposed to other Yom Tovim? So Sagi Miyom Echad B'Siva. The Yesh Omrim, and the third opinion, the Hachiyuv Shloshim Yom Hu Rak B'Pesach. Mishum the Yesh Bohen Alachos Rabot. If you have to stack up Pesach and Sukkot and Shavuos, so Pesach has the most halachas. So for Pesach, there's a halach of Shoyalin. Bilchas HaPesach, Kaidim LePesach Shloshim Yom, but it's less for the other holidays. I actually feel that Sukkot gets short shrift. It bothers me every year. Like, I wish Sukkot was a month after Yom Kippur, or 2 months after Yom Kippur. It gives me a chance to focus on it. It gets swallowed up. We're so busy preparing Aser Simei Tshuva, Slichas, Aser Simei Tshuva, Yom Kippur. We're so busy focusing on the Yom HaNoraim that Sukkot kind of just slides right in, and inevitably with less than the level of preparation that we should have for it. We should be learning through Maseches Sukkah, we should be focusing, and it somehow, boom, 4 days later. But says the third opinion in the Mishnah Berurah, that the halacha of 30 days is only a din in Pesach. My point being that all the Yamim Tovim require a hachana, whether it's 30 days, whether it's less than 30 days. You can't just walk in the first night Yom Tov, Shalom Aleichem, Ich bin du, good Yom Tov, hello everybody, nice to see you, happy holiday. You can't do that. You got to prepare. You have to focus. You got to know what you're doing. Whether it's the halachas, whether it's the hashkafa, you got to know what's going on. Everything requires hachana. Which brings me to my last example, and that is Shabbos. Shabbos, every Shabbos. You don't have to wait until Sukkot, you don't have to wait until Pesach, you don't have to wait until Yom Kippur. Every single Shabbos requires Hachana. So one of my favorite quotes, even though this was not written by Rav Soloveitchik, but it was said by Rabbi Soloveitchik, and it was printed in his lifetime, in one of the Tshuvah Drushes. So the Rav made a very famous comment that resonates with me deeply every Friday, and that is that in America, Baruch Hashem, we have Shomrei Shabbos. And it's not so pashut, because in the olden days, for sure, it was not so pashut. And even today, Baruch Hashem, where the Shomrei Shabbos community has expanded, but we've got a long way to go. But at least there are Jews in America who we can say that are Shomrei Shabbos. True, there are Jews in America who observe the Sabbath. But the line before the underline, it is not for the Sabbath that my heart aches. It is for the forgotten Erev Shabbos. There are Shomrei Shabbos in America. but there are not Erev Shabbos Jews, who go out to greet the Shabbos with beating hearts and pulsating souls. So what do we do on Erev Shabbos? We're running, we got so much to do, we're hopping around, even now the days are a little bit longer, so we push it a little bit longer, we stay in the office longer, we start cooking later. Inevitably, we're scrambling the last few minutes. And we're not really focused on Shabbos. I believe that I mentioned before in this forum that whenever I see my students on Erev Shabbos on Friday, or anybody, whenever I see anybody, you know, after Shacharis on Friday, people say, have a good Shabbos. So I always say, have a good Erev Shabbos. Have a good Erev Shabbos. I teach at Stern College on Thursdays. So after class on Thursdays, I say goodbye to my students, and I wish them a good Erev Shabbos. And I'm like crazed about this. I'm like really focused on this. Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is Oichat Eves. And it's this footnote in the Rav that got me thinking about this. It's not just have a good Shabbos. First have a good Erev Shabbos, and when you're done having a good Erev Shabbos, then you'll have a good Shabbos. So that means, what does it mean to be an Erev Shabbos Jew? Shabbos is coming. Shabbos is coming. It means you have to prepare. It means you have to be Mechen for Shabbos. It's not like you come flying in from the office and you took a shower already in the morning because you knew you'd cut it close, and then you drop your briefcase and go flying into shul, and alavai, you should make it full of chadodi, and you're busy catching your breath, and then you have to catch up with the news with the guy next to you through Myriv, and then you begin to get relaxed already on the way home, ready to make kiddush. And the wonderful women who are busy, you know, you got a phone over here, and you got a baby over here, and you're stirring the pot over here, and you're pushing the 18 minutes, and you're pushing the 18 minutes, and then you drop. You drop, and you plot, and you just sit on the chair, and you hope your kids don't crawl all over you and destroy your 7.5 seconds of pre-Shabbos menucha. And what happened? What happened? And all of a sudden, Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, we have Shabbos, but we have to have Erev Shabbos. That's what it's a din in the Hachana. Now, the same Shem Yishmuel makes the point on the bottom right that the Hachana for Shabbos is not just Erev Shabbos. That the Hachana for Shabbos actually begins on Wednesday. So the Rav talks about Erev Shabbos Jews. I'm going to push it a little bit, and I want to go to Wednesday. I think about this all the time. One year, all of a sudden I realized, I try to daven with kavanah. What does it mean to daven with kavanah? It's hard to daven with kavanah because we say the same words all the time. So I try to daven slowly and to think of something that yesterday had never occurred to me. So one year, I realized that we say l'chun aranana on the yom of Revi'i. We talk about Shabbos coming on Wednesday. So on Wednesday already, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days before Shabbos, we start thinking about Shabbos. Zok Shem Yishmuel, on the bottom right-hand side, Shehash'aras HaKadusha Achar Avor Yemei HaKadusha, on the third line, that the impact, the residue, the force, the power that the Kedusha has when days of Kedusha leave, He lefi masas ha'achona shelofaneha. The day is going to have an impact based on the level of my preparation for that day. V'alkein b'Shabbos she'ha'achona lefaneha he gimel yamin. It's not just to be an Erev Shabbos Jew. You have to be a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday Erev Shabbos Jew. V'alkein b'Shabbos she'ha'achona lefaneha he gimel yamin demikame shabbato. If you prepare 3 days before Shabbos, so nimshach roshem akadusha liachareho plus yomin, so the afterlife of Shabbos will extend for 3 days. Right? There's a quid pro quo here. To the extent to which I prepare, to that extent I'll take away. If I prepare for 3 days beforehand, so I'll have the hashras hakadusha for 3 days afterwards, which explains a halacha that we know of. In our tradition, umisha lo hivdil b'mitzoy Shabbos Kodesh, yavdil ad Yom Gimel. You have 3 days to make havdalah, psachim kuvav amid aleph and elsewhere. Why do you have 3 days to make havdalah? Because the kedusha of Shabbos or the kedusha of the after effects of Shabbos a nimshach for 3 days after Shabbos. Why? Because you spend 3 days before Shabbos preparing for it. Ubechag. Shehachana lefanav yishloshim yom. And when it comes to Yom Tov, he doesn't get into the whole disagreement in the Meshibura, whether it's only in Pesach and not. Other Yom Tovim, when it comes to Yom Tov, the preparations for 30 days. Nimshach roshem hachag achakach nami shloshim yom. So the after effects last for 30 days. Val kein kol shloshim nikra achar hachag. This is actually a huge discussion. Let's say somebody makes a tanai that X and X will happen on the condition that I will give something to you after the halal, after the chag. And I don't identify exactly when after the chag. So it's a huge conversation. But at least to get into it a little bit, there's one shita that says that it's a din in 30 days. But you have 30 days. Where? I didn't say 30 days. I said after Yom Tov. But after Yom Tov is called 30 days. Why? Because 30 days before the Yom Tov, I was focusing on the Yom Tov. So therefore, 30 days after the Yom Tov, it's a similar arrangement to the extent to which I put in, to that extent I can take it. If you look at the Kozhnitz and Magid, on the top right of page 5, he has a very sweet way of remembering this. He's a beautiful pshat in a pasuk. Beautiful pshat in a pasuk. The pasuk says in Shmos Lamed Dalet, Sheish yamin tavod, ubayom ashvi tishpos, v'chorish uvakotzir tishpos. You should work for 6 days. On the seventh day, you shall rest. V'chorish uvakotzir tishpos. You should stop. You should desist. Charisha is plowing, and Kitzira is harvesting. So the Kozhnitz and Magid of Yisrael, and the Sefer Avodas Yisrael, top right, page 5, says, Ritzon Olomer, at the top line, Kihine haklalhu, she'tzorech ha'adam, what's the next word, the verb, lehachin atzmo, again, lehachin atzmo, la'avodas habori yisbarach, kolchad lefum shiura delay. Everybody has to prepare to the extent to which they can. V'haynu, again the same verb, l'hachines atzmo b'chol boker, v'la'asos, and again the same verb, hachana, b'masa ha-mitzvos o b'limu Torah, k'de sheyuchal achar kach leilechu l'ispalel eze tfila l'fnei kono yisbarach. When you get up in the morning, you have to put yourself in the right mind frame in order to be able to do whatever it is that you're doing. You're doing, you're davening, you're doing whatever you're doing, you have to be in the right frame of mind. V'aderech hazeh b'yemos ha-shavua, Hainu biyom dalid hey vav lehachin atzmo l'shabbos. If there's a dinner hachan in general when it comes to mitzvahs, you don't just jump in, but you prepare for it. You put yourself in the proper frame of mind. So when it comes to Shabbos, not just the Rav's Erev Shabbos Jew, but it's the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday Jew. You have biyom dalid hey vav lehachin atzmo l'shabbos. Based on the Gemara, misha toreach be'erev Shabbos yochel b'Shabbos. If you make the chol Friday, you'll have what to eat on Shabbos. You don't make the chol Friday, said Zana Shabbos on chol. Can't make it on Shabbos. You have to prepare before Shabbos. And then he quotes a Rivash and says something interesting. What's pshat? Bechorish uva kotzir tishbos. Chorish ches reishin is a notrikon, is an acronym for chamishi revii shishi. So it would have been nice if it would have been in chronological order. All right. Chazoy Vait, I'm not going to hold them to it. But Techorish is 5, 4, 6. So what he says is, Bechorish uvakotzir tishbos. If you prepare for the tishbos Bechorish, then you'll have what to be kotzir at the end. That if the preparation, if the charisha, the plowing doesn't create anything. The plowing is a preparation to seed, and then the seed is a preparation for harvesting. So if you chorish, if you plow, if you prepare on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so then you'll be able to have what to harvest. I want to go to the bottom left, to the Helega Abderav. And this is my last source before I come back, circle back, to the issue that brings us here today. So the Helega Abderav, Rabbi Avraham Yehoshua Heschel, the Ayyav Yisrael, is a Gevaldik Chassidish Rebbe, I don't know of other Chassidish Rebbes, and I'm not really holding in this parsha so much, who are known by the title Rav. Most of you, I know the Brisker Rav. We know the Brisker Rav is a Rav. Trust me, he was not a Chassidish Rebbe. So the Brisker Rav is the Rav. The Apter Rav was a powerhouse Chassidish Rebbe, Rabbi Avraham Yehoshua Heschel. And he's known as the Apter Rav, and he's known as the Oyev Yisrael. He wrote a sefer called Oyev Yisrael. So in the Sefer Erev Yisrael on the Parashat Kisisa, I found something that is worth the price of admission for you to come here this morning. Rabbi Sabalovsky will make it much more worth it for you to have come here this morning. This is, for my part, this was worth the price of admission. First he says, if you look in the second half, Kivadai, second half, where it's underlined, Kivadai bo'i hachono rabba kol vav yemei ha-maisa. Al Kedushas Shabbos. What he does, and what the Hilchos Berdicheva does on the source before that, that I don't have time to look at now, is that it's not just the din in Erev Shabbos, and it's not just the din in 3 days before Shabbos, but as a matter of fact, it's starting today. A whole week. A whole week is already we're focusing on Shabbos. That to be an Erev Shabbos Jew doesn't kick in on Friday, to be an Erev Shabbos Jew kicks in on Sunday. It's not just Friday, and it's not just Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but it's a whole week we have to have Achana. Boy, Achana, Rabba, Kol, Vav, Yemei, Amaisa. And then he says something, I saw this last week when I was preparing this year, and it jumped out on me, and I'm telling you, it has changed my life. What does it mean to be a Shomer Shabbos? I'm asking you a question. What does it mean to be a Shomer Shabbos? My whole life, until last week, I thought to be a Shomer Shabbos means to observe Shabbos. When am I a Shomer Shabbos? On Shabbos, I'm a Shomer Shabbos. Kumtz again the Heilige Abter and says no. You know what it means to be a Shomer Shabbos? Shomer Shabbos miloshon v'aviv shamar es hadavar. What's happening with v'aviv shamar es hadavar? You remember the story with Yosef and his brothers and the dreams and they get angry. V'aviv, Yaakov Avinu, shamar es Hadover, Zot Rashi v'aviv shomer es hadover, hayamamtin umitzape masai yavo. Yaakov knew that Yosef was onto something. Something is going on. V'aviv shomer es hadover, he was waiting. Mamtin umitzape. Something is going to change. This is going to happen. He is heralding now a new reality. I wonder when it's going to happen. Shomer doesn't mean observe. Shomer means to look forward to. You know what it means to be a Shomer Shabbos? Anticipate Shabbos. When are you a Shomer Shabbos? Not on Shabbos. You're a Shomer Shabbos Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's when you're a Shomer Shabbos. I'm telling you, this revolution in the last week, it's all I'm thinking about. I can't believe it. To be a Shomer Shabbos has nothing to do with how I observe Shabbos. It's like astounding to me. It has nothing to do with how I observe Shabbos. It has everything to do with how I look forward to Shabbos. You want to be an Emes Shomer Shabbos? On Tuesday you're a Shomer Shabbos. On Thursday you're a Shomer Shabbos. That's what Shomer Shabbos is. V'aviv Shomer Es Hadavar. Look at the time. Be'emes Ro'yu V'nochom. We're at the first underlining, the Heilige Abter. Mamish. This is like, it's this gold. I can't tell you, I'm jumping up and down. The MS Ro'ui V'nachon L'chol Ish Maskil V'navon. It's appropriate for anybody who thinks. Losum Elibo Litzapos Uleyachel Kol Yemeachol Lihios Mishomri Shabbos Kimo the Oviv Shomer Es Hadavar. A revolution in my thinking. And I give you a gift. I give you a gift. The Heilige Abter. Unbelievable. Shmiras Shabbos doesn't have to do with the Lamatas Melachas, doesn't have to do with making Kiddush. Shmiras Shabbos has to do with Tuesday. The Shomer Shabbos, you're on Shomer Shabbos on Tuesday, on Monday, on Thursday and Wednesday, that's Shmiras Shabbos. There's another phrase, he doesn't quote it. The Torah in Sefer Shmos, Parshas Bo, refers to Leil Shimurim. Leil Shimurim. That the night of Pesach is a Leil Shimurim. So Rashi says, what is the night of Pesach being a Leil Shimurim? Shehaya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomer Umetzapelo L'kayim Avtachaso Lo Tziyo Mi Mitzrayim. So Le'el Shemar Hashem is waiting. He's looking forward. And the Rashbam, I didn't Xerox a few, I realized it last night, the Rashbam on this pasuk of Le'el Shemurim quotes the Aviv Shamar Esadov. Le'el Shemurim is the same Shin Mem Reish as the Aviv Shamar Esadov. It means to look forward to. And the Halakha Apta says that that's what Shabbos is all about. To be a Emes Hashem Shabbos, it's before Shabbos. I'm so happy that I can get excited about something that never occurred to me in my life. And maybe it didn't even occur to you too, so it's worth, for the first half, the price of admission. So now I want to take in mamish another 4 minutes to just conclude with the issue of preparation for marriage. So the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, at the top of page 6, the Rambam parallels our relationship to God to our relationship between a husband and a wife. The Rambam says, how do we conceptualize our relationship to God? There's a mitzvah to love God. What do you mean, love God? I don't know what it means to love God. I don't know what God is. I don't know how to think about what God is. I don't know what love means in the context of God. So the Rambam says in Perek Asiri, Halacha Gimel, the Ketzad Hiya Ava HaRe'uya, He sheye'ahav es Hashem ava gedola yeseira aza ma'od. We have to love God very intensely. Achetehe nafsho kshura ba'ava Hashem, that we should be totally intertwined with our love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nimtza shoge bel tamid, we're thinking about it all the time. Ke'ilu cholo choli ha'ava, that we're lovesick for God. She'ein dato penuya me'ahavas osa isha. We understand what it means to love another human being. We understand what it means to love a spouse. So now we can extrapolate from that human, personal relationship to what it means to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we frame our relationship to God in the context of an experience that we're familiar with, and that is what it means to love another human being. The Rav said a number of times, and I just Xeroxed for you two examples, that our relationship to God is like a romance. Our relationship to God is like a romance. I'll just read the one at the bottom of page 6, next to the last paragraph. A Jew is not only supposed to know what Yahadus stands for and to have knowledge of Yahadus, he's also called upon to experience Yahadus. You don't only have to know, but you have to experience, to live it, to somehow engage in a romance with the Almighty. My whole life I thought a romance is between a man and a woman, between a woman and a man. That's romance. I have romantic feelings. Nope. Once again, we take a relationship and an emotion in a human context, and we have now a romance with HaKadosh Baruch. And there are twice on page 7 where he makes that same reference. So if we see our relationship to God in the context and parallel to the relationship that we have between a husband and wife, then what I want to suggest in conclusion is that we see our relationship with a husband and a wife the way we see our relationship to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's a parallel here. That if the parallel goes in this direction, then the parallel should go in the other direction. That means that we have to treat one another. We have to have a relationship between a husband and a wife in the context of or parallel to the relationships that we have with our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we understand our relationship to God in the context of our relationship between a husband and wife, so we have to understand our relationship between a husband and wife in the context in which we see our relationship to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if it's true, as I've tried to demonstrate repeatedly, that our relationship to God requires hachana and requires preparation, you don't just jump in, Shalom Aleichem, good Yom Tov, good Shabbos, I'm here. You got to work on it. You got to prepare for it. Whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Yom Tov, whether it's Yom Kippur, whether it's Sukkot, whether it's Pesach, whatever it is. So we have to have achana also in our relationships between one another. And achana means that we have to treat one another in our relationships with one another prior to marriage the way we would like to treat one another after we're married. And whether the person that we're dating is the person that we're ultimately going to end up with or not, it requires the same level of kindness and sensitivity and empathy and graciousness and respect. And so as I end, I want to express our kaddish to Dr. Efrat Sobolowski. the enormous amount of work that she does and others on her team to make this happen.